That's pretty nasty. Do we have any veterans in the house? Anybody who's served or currently serving? You want to take a seat or stand up, rather? Nobody? Oh, man. You guys got to step it up. First service had a few. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we just, with Veterans Day yesterday, we want to, yeah, well, I'm standing up here already. I appreciate it. With Veterans Day yesterday, we just wanted to take a minute and thank the veterans. This ties in with the message today, so I wanted to show that. It's one of the crazy things that people do on their road to becoming a service member. I think all the branches have some sort of gas chamber. That's the Army CS gas chamber, so you'll have to go through that to become a veteran eventually. So that kind of ties in. The significance of the gas chamber is basically, it's one of the initial things that you do when you get to your basic training, and it gives you, you go through like a block of instruction. You have a drill sergeant kind of telling you what the process is, what it looks like when you're in that situation, when you go and put the gas mask on, how to do it all, how to clear your mask, and you learn kind of the signs of what to give each other when there's gas present. There's different visual signs, vocal signs, that kind of stuff. So the big thing that it teaches you right off the bat is you have to trust your equipment. You have to trust your instruction, and you have to trust the leadership over you that they're giving you the right instructions, they're leading you in the right way, because if you're overseas, if you're in battle, having that happen to you, it makes it very difficult to operate. So having that reassurance that you can trust in your equipment, you know how to do it, you can trust in the leadership that's given it to you. It's really cool when you go through this training, because you're like, I think I was in for like 2 weeks, you're getting yelled at the first 2 weeks, and there's a brick building, and you kind of, we come in, and then they pick volunteers. Who wants to go first? If they don't pick volunteers, then they make you go. Then I was crazy enough, I went in the first group, and you line up, and then they come out. The drill sergeant gives you like another block of instruction to make sure you're confident, and then they give you the sign, and you file into this room really quick, and you just feel the tingling on your skin, the burning, your neck starts to burn. You see the people that didn't do it right, and they're coughing and choking inside their mask, and you have to learn how to do it with the mask on. So it gives you that immediate reassurance, because if you do it right, you can breathe. You might have that little bit of discomfort. You might have the little bit of issues, and you know that it's there. You know that the gas is there, but you can breathe. You're trusting your equipment. You're trusting that your leadership led you in the right way. So today we're going to talk about trust. After, if you didn't have the pleasure a couple weeks ago, I'm sorry, you got to hear me today. Right after I spoke, I started asking some people for feedback. In the Army, we call it AAR, After Action Review. So it's basically what went right, what went wrong, that kind of stuff. So who better to ask than Joe Nepital? If you guys know Joe, you know, he's very analytical. He knows. He's very honest, so he immediately was like, hey, you got to make sure that you're, basically, I said a million times, if you didn't know that, and I know that when people left, there was a little bit of confusion on what the clear message that I was trying to give was, and the basis of that was talking about calling. We were in a series talking about fear, and so that message was supposed to be titled The Fear of Your Calling. And today, I want to start off talking about trusting God in your calling. So we're going to talk about Gideon today, and I think that he is one of the perfect illustrations of trusting in God and trusting in what? Did anybody else see that? Something just came through. Hopefully the roof's not leaking. That was weird. Nobody else saw that? I just saw like a drop come down. Okay. I don't know. That threw me off. Anyway, sorry. Can't believe nobody else saw that. So one of the things that I want to use to illustrate this is Matt Kennedy is a good friend of mine. He's the youth pastor over Impact. I don't think I prefaced that. I'm the youth pastor here, so if you don't know me, feel free to grab me and we talk about that. But Matt lost his job not too long ago, so he's going through like a transition period, a lot like we are now, to where he's having to put a lot of trust into God and put a lot of trust into what's going on around him. So one thing that has been kind of in discussion is, you know, maybe Matt should go to school. And he wasn't a great student from what he has told me. And so yesterday we were talking and I was like, you know, man, you just got to pull the trigger. You just got to do it. And you know, get ordained, get licensed, start working on that. And he said, in going to school, he would have to fully surrender to God's will, to what God has for him, because he knows that, you know, being a student isn't natural for him. So you'd have to trust in God that that's what he's supposed to be doing. And there's a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of confidence with that, and he doesn't feel equipped. We're going to jump to Judges 6, verse 11. If you want to follow along, you can. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen. But Judges 6, 11, we see the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now, to preface this a little bit, the Midianites had had a stronghold over Israel. So for years, the Israelites had been kind of turning away from God, and God had kind of just let it go. So the Midianites had come in, and they were anything that was good, they would steal it. Any food, any, you know, anything that they had, they would take it. So what Gideon is doing here is, you know, you have a wine press, which you put grapes, get ready to make wine, and he's putting wheat in there. And he climbed in, and he's, you know, smushing it down to hide it from the Midianites. And he's in a very vulnerable spot hiding. He's hiding from the Midianites. He's hiding the resources that he has. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Does this sound like a warrior? Somebody hiding away under a tree, smushing down wheat so that the enemy doesn't come and take it? "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive." Man. I don't know about getting here, but if I was in a vulnerable place like that, I was the youngest in my family, the smallest in my family, of a small family where family is everything here, and God is coming in and calling you to something greater, that would scare me. You'd have to, following this, Gideon questions God and tests him quite a bit and is trying to figure out, okay, you're saying this to me, but is it true? Can I trust in you? Can I put this into you? And really, he's saying, do I have what it takes? Can I trust you that you're being forthright with my calling, that this is what I'm supposed to do? And, you know, we see a lot of fear and a lot of inability to trust from Gideon. And, you know, he kind of teeter-tottered with it a little bit, and he slowly started to trust God and putting these tests to God, and God, of course, proved right. So as this process started, he started to gather an army of Israelites that were going to prepare to battle the Midianites, and he ended up with about 32,000 strong. Now, the Midianites, when they talk about their army, they compare it to, like, okay, we live in Indiana, we have a lot of, like, gnats, and, like, so you look out, if you're at the lake on a Sunday, in summertime, you see just the swarms of gnats. That's how they compare the Midianites to. So the Israelites have about 32,000, and then you can, like, look across, and you just see a swarm of soldiers, innumerable. You can't count. And they feel confident. They're like, we got 32,000, you know, God's on our side. We got this. And when they started this, we're going to jump over to Judges 7, verse 3 and 4. "Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. So confidence is going to start going down a little bit. God kind of, okay, you got 32,000 men. You guys feel pretty confident you can take them. What about 10,000 men? Let's take this down, because if you think that you guys got this, then there's not going to be any room for you to trust in me to know that it was me that delivered you. And so he had 10,000 men, and Gideon's like, oh, okay. And then the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." This narrowed it down to about 300 men. So what did we talk about with the gas chamber? We talked about, you know, trusting that you know what to do, trusting in your instructions, that God is leading you in the way that he wants you to go. He's giving you the resources to be able to handle it. So Gideon has to have that trust still. And, you know, in war, you have like a command center. If you've ever seen like a military movie, you have your command center, the army, we call it TOC. And it's like your, basically it's where you get together, you make all your plans, you run your operations out of. And I can just picture Gideon standing there with his 300 men, and he's just pacing, like not sure where God wants him to go, not sure, like, how am I going to do this? God, I know you've led me to this place. I'm starting to put my trust in you. But I can assume that he's struggling. You know, it's difficult in the seat that we're in, or where we're at in life, or the situation we're in. And I kind of gave this talk a little bit on Wednesday to the students, and it's a little harder to talk to students about struggling with where you're in, because, you know, they haven't had a lot of the financial struggles. You know, the younger you are, you don't deal with as much death, and certainly some have, but just trusting God where we're at. A lot of you have heard my story to know that there's been a lot of times where I was unsure. So a lot of times I still get unsure and are going through different things, and I just can relate to Gideon to where he's struggling with, okay, God, you've put me here. Is this right? Like, am I doing the right thing? And God kind of gives him, he throws him a lob. He's like, all right, well, we'll give it another go. We'll try to let you trust in me a little bit more. So he says, you know, he wants him to sneak down to the camp of the Midianites, and he said, just take someone down there and go and listen. And so Gideon does this, and he hears two Midianites talking. One of the Midianites had a dream. Pretty much the basis of the dream was that they were going to lose, that the Midianites were going to get destroyed by the Israelites, because you see, the Midianites didn't know how many troops the Israelites had. They didn't know. They just knew that there was going to be a battle. And he overhears this dream, and it fills him with confidence, and he goes back up, and he gathers his men, and they put away their swords. They get flower pots and horns and torches, and you just think, like, okay, you're going to battle. You need weapons and swords, and they got flower pots. And so basically the layout of this is there's a valley, and all the Midianites are in a valley, and they just have the hill up and around. And so Gideon takes his men up, and they gather around the top of this hill, and I can imagine being a Midianite looking up, and we're going to jump into Judges 7, 21 and 22, and just while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah toward Zereha. I can't pronounce any of this stuff. If I can do this, you guys can do this. God can take you where you're at. As far as the border of Abel Mohela, near Tebeth. Sorry, Joe. I know you're going to watch this. So picture being one of those Midianites, looking up and seeing these 300 men surrounded with torches and horns and loud, and you don't know what's going on. You don't know where everybody is around you. You don't know what's on the other side of that hill. But God orchestrated this perfectly so that the Israelites would win, because when that chaos ensued and they turn on each other, and there's more to the story, but that's where we want to put our focus on, is that Gideon was a simple man, the smallest man in a small family, and God took him and said, this is what you're going to do. And Gideon had to trust God. And then he said, you're going to have all these, or he got all these resources, and God's like, no, you're going to trust me with this many resources. You're going to trust me with 300 soldiers, not 32,000. Then God says, put away the swords. This is what you're going to do. And we see this in our everyday life, that God will put us in situations where we can't do it without him. He'll put us in a place where the effect that we think we can have on our own is far less than the effect that God has through us. I keep messing with this thing. But that's really where we want to put our focus. And as we leave this week, that's what we want to focus on is, you know, through sickness, through everything, that we have to put our trust fully in God, and that the situations that he places us in and the resources he's given us is enough. Is what he wants us to do is ultimately what we want to do. And one thing I've been really struggling with this week is the events last Sunday. I was gone Sunday. I had a drill. And so just getting the news about the shooting in Texas, it kind of floored me. To think that somebody could do something like that at a church, nonetheless, is just beyond me. And I just want to, you know, not in the spirit of fear or anything, and I really want to ensure that everybody here realizes that this is a safe place, that we can come. You know, the elders and the staff and leadership have, we're working on making sure that, you know, we have things in place and that this is always a safe place to come, that we will we'll do everything we can to make sure everybody's safe at all times, and we're prepared. You know, God forbid anything like that ever happened in Fort Wayne, but we were prepared, and we just want to reassure you guys of that. So just, I want to say a prayer as the band comes back out, and we'll just finish in worship, but just thing I want you to walk away with today is, you know, trusting God. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I'm unsure about all the time, but you can't, it's all in God's hands, and you have to follow that he's given you what you need. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you so much for the blessings that you give. God, thank you for allowing us to come here and to worship you, God. I pray that someday my children will never know what an active shooter is. God, I pray that someday we'll beat cancer. God, I pray that you've given us the resources that ultimately we know that heaven is where our home is, that with you is where we're meant to be. But God, just, we want to take away the pain. God, I pray that you be with those families. I pray that you be with Bruce and Ann and the Walker family, God. And I pray that you be with those families that are affected by the terrible tragedy in Texas and the shooting. And God, I pray that you be with the shooter. I pray for anybody thinking of something like that, God, that you just fill them up. God, I know that it starts with us. We're the light, God. I pray that we can continue to be that light, God. It's only because of you that we can do any of this. We can come together and worship, God, and that you lead us where you want us. It's in your name I pray.